Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's ka'chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code FITNESS.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Time to talk sport, and I'm joined now by Off the Balls. Owen Sheehan, good evening to you, Owen.
Good evening, Ciara.
Let's start with the Premier League and look at that scoreless draw between Arsenal and Liverpool at the Emirates last night. First of all, we have to look at that incident between Martinelli and Bradley. He's apologised.
Well, I don't think there is any other incident to look at in the game, to be fair. It was such a dreadful game of football. So everything's been said about this already, about what Martinelli did. I think there's been a massive overreaction to what Gabriel Martinelli did last night. Gabriel Martinelli is being spoken about as if he knowingly dragged a man with a desperate injury off the pitch, as if he threw a ball on a player that he knew had a desperate injury, as if he looked down on him and callously wanted to do more harm to a player who had a desperate injury. Gabriel Martinelli did not know the injury that Conor Bradley had sustained. We see this so often in football, in modern football, that players, when they get injured, they are quote-unquote injured, or they get a little bit of a knock, they roll back onto the pitch to ensure that the game has to stop and to ensure that they can waste a little bit of time. Arne Slot said this after the game. Like, if you want to look to somebody, this is not an anti-Liverpool thing to say at all. Their manager said this literal thing. Gabriel Martinelli did not know that a player was injured. Yes, it was a stupid thing to do. In hindsight, he realised he did a stupid thing.
And he apologised for it.
He then apologised. That's it. Like, people are talking about, give Martinelli a ban. What are we giving him a ban for? It's not like to drag a player on or off the pitch. Nobody's ever been given a retrospective ban for that. For throwing the ball at a player with minimal force, nobody. I could be open to correction on this. This happens quite often in games. It happened in a Manchester City-Arsenal game earlier in the year. There was no retrospective ban handed out. What are the people who are looking for a ban actually looking for here? What's the sin? Is it because Conor Bradley's suffered a terrible injury and he's been treated in a like a rag doll in a callous manner? You can't get a ban for that. You can't ban somebody because their
injury... Well, is it the practice then of shoving players back on to keep the brain game going?
We have seen that on countless occasions. It happens, I don't want to say every weekend, but every second weekend in football. It is a tale as old as time. You get injured, your teammate says, get back onto the pitch. We are defending a lead or we're trying to hold a draw. We have to remember, Gabriel Martinelli did not start this game. He's coming off the bench. He's got this pent-up frustration. He's got urgency in his bones that a lot of his teammates who started this night did not have. So, yes, everything that has been said about it being a stupid moment and a regretful moment from Gabriel Martinelli and that he should apologise, absolutely. But that's all it is. Like, he's apologised, let's move on. Let's not.
And do you not think people have moved on at this stage, after the apology?
Maybe I spend too much time on social media in the aftermath of a game. Maybe my brain is fried when we come off the ball at 10 p.m. on night, and the only thing my brain is fit to do is scroll through Twitter, and maybe that's what I'm basing this on.
You're making a huge mistake doing that, Owen Sheehan.
Well, Gary Neville, in the moment, said Gabriel Martinelli... he called him an idiot. He didn't call the act idiotic. He called him an idiot. That's very strong language. Peter Drury, who was beside him in commentary, and look, I would be the first person to be critical of Peter Drury being way too flowery in his language and pre-scripted. He said, Gabriel Martinelli has not read the room. Peter Drury nailed it. Gabriel Martinelli did not read the room. He got it wrong and he has subsequently apologised. That's it. He is not an idiot. Maybe he behaved like an idiot. For Gary Neville to come out and be like, that guy is an idiot, to label him as an idiot for a mistake that he made, I think that's over the top.
And threw fuel on the fire when it's up 100%. To those commentators to try and keep a lid on this?
No,
is it?
That's not what Gary Neville sees his role at. He will take out the petrol where possible in every situation. And I think there's been a lot of airtime, a lot of column inches dedicated to Gary Neville and his role in football, particularly when it comes to Old Trafford over the last week. And look, I'm not saying that he's acting in a cynical matter in a cynical manner here at all, Gary Neville. It's his honest opinion at the moment that he's an idiot. But do you know what I think, Kira? This all stems from this real level of distaste towards Mikel Arteta and Arsenal. And this idea that, like, Gabriel Martinelli is an idiot and he represents the reprehensible nature of his manager. That's what's really come to the fore last night. And I'm not saying that people don't have any real reasons for disliking Arsenal or for disliking Arteta. The way in which they played football last night was awful. The way in which they take loads of time over set pieces and can only score from set pieces. If you don't like that, fair enough. But then to conflate that with some guy who has gone out to injure further a guy who's suffered a terrible injury, I don't think that's fair. And that's the only point I make.
Yeah, and I actually always have a difficulty with people who say, look, I don't like the style of football. Well, that's fair enough, but they're actually top of the league, so good luck to them. It's working.
Like, it is their want to play with, a fairly turgid style of playing to not get beaten last night. And, like, I will say, like, some of the analysis last night has also said that Liverpool came to Arsenal and tried to park the bus and play defensive football, which just isn't true. You watch that second half of football and Liverpool were the better team, clearly.
But it still was a nil-all draw. Do you like the FA Cup?
I like the FA Cup. Yeah, I like the romance of it. I like the storylines around it. I like the fact that you do get a couple of good Irish storylines, in fact, on this weekend. The only problem is it's hard to predict what the Irish storylines are going to be or what the big storylines are going to be. There's a billion games on this weekend and you can only really judge them in hindsight. There is going to be two or three shocks this week. Like, you could have Wolves getting beaten by Shrewsbury at home, or Brentford might go to Sheffield Wednesday and lose. But until they happen, we've got no clue what's going to happen. Maybe Manchester City will lose at home to Exeter City, but they could also beat them 5-0. So I find this weekend hard to look ahead to. What you can do is you can look at Tottenham versus Aston Villa as you know, a couple of clubs who will really try and go out and win this game. And obviously Manchester United, who are up against Brighton on Sunday. The all Premier League clashes are easy to look ahead and be excited for, and obviously the Manchester United week gives us plenty of talking points going into that.
Okay, let's move on to rugby. Let's move away from cup, from football, because I can see your frustration there, Owen. I hope you feel better after that, do you?
Thank you for allowing me to vent.
No problem. I hope it was therapeutic. let's look at Ronan O'Gara coming back to play Leinster tomorrow, obviously with La Rochelle. And Leinster, they've had a couple of injuries, a couple of key players missing tomorrow.
Yeah, and the team sheet came out earlier on and there's more injuries than maybe a lot of people would have expected. So the front row for Leinster is in a spot of bother. They're going to be missing Tadhg Furlong, Andrew Porter, Rabah Slimani and Jack Boyle. So coming off the bench tomorrow, you've got Jerry Kerr and Andrew Sparrow making their European debuts. So it's a huge occasion for them. So they're a little bit lightweight up front in terms of experience, Leinster. There's going to be a European debut for JJ Kenny on the wing. James Lowe is injured at the moment. This guy is brilliant. He's referred to as JJ Kenny in some places, Joshua Kenny in other places. He's come through a Sevens background. When the Sevens programme was shut down, he got brought into the Leinster setup and he's been really good every time he's played. But, and it's a big but, he hasn't played anybody like La Rochelle quite yet, and Leinster and La Rochelle straight up do not like each other after all the times they've met in previous years. The big call for Leo Cullen this week was who would he go with at out half. He's gone for Sam Prendergast ahead of Harry Byrne at out half. Harry Byrne has really had a good season with Leinster so far this year, and there was some suggestion that were he to start tomorrow, he might be in line to start for Ireland in the Six Nations, but no, they've gone with Prendergast tomorrow at 10.
And a French fixture for Munster as well.
Exactly, they're away to Toulon on Sunday at 1 p.m. So they've recalled their three big hitters. Munster, without Crowley, Casey and Tadhg Byrne, really struggle and they've done so this season. But when they have the three of them in the team, they've always got a chance. Big injury blow for them though with Jean Klein. They could have done with him in the team. He is out for tomorrow. Toulon are fully locked and loaded and a very strong team. People will have seen that they were hammered 66-0 last week by La Rochelle. You can quickly disregard that result. It was their second string team. French teams often send a B team, a C team off to their away fixtures in the top 14. That's what Toulon did last week. They had a 43-year-old man, Nanu, coming on to play a blindside flanker last week. So that's where Toulon were last weekend. They're going to be a much better side and I would make them favourites against Munster this weekend.
Okay, and if you want to hear more about Martinelli and Bradley, I would imagine off the ball later.
Yeah, we might have a second therapy session, myself and Mick, at 7 p.m. Also, just to mention that Leinster versus La Rochelle is live on News Talk tomorrow evening at 5:30.
Owen Sheehan, thanks as always.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.